Right now, time to bring in Ruth Epstein, who covers our area, of course, for the Republican American. You can find Ruth's stories in the paper, also online at rap-am.com. And you can find Ruth right here on a Monday morning. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning, Marshall. Good to be with you. As I told you, my voice is a little shaky, but we'll get through it.
All right. Well, I be prepared for tomorrow morning. We got temperatures in the teens tomorrow morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We've been so blessed.
Yeah.
I'm loving this weather, and we got to pay the price.
Have to do it.
So, we've had quite the week. Obviously, the election came off without too much fuss, except for a little glitch from the Salisbury one in the Hayes Logan race, but once that was all figured out, it was definitely in Johanna Hayes' favor, so she will return to the U.S. Congress. Maria Horn, our local state rep, will be returning. She did, it was interesting, she won by a squeaker her first year, a little better, 2 years ago, and this year she really was soundly elected by more than 3,000 votes. She beat Chris DuPont, a newcomer from Goshen. Our new state senator is Steve Harding on the Republican ticket, who was replacing Craig Miner. So, and pretty much down the line, status quo.
Yeah, you know, that problem with the Salisbury's, the state pointed out in their memo, it was not Salisbury's fault, it was the state's fault.
Right.
They claimed due to redistricting changes in the state, for some reason, the Salisbury results were not included. Now, Maria Horn was still ahead without those results, but the results came in from Salisbury, and that provided the big enough margin where a recount was not required by law.
For Johanna, yeah. It was so interesting because Salisbury, the registrars there are top-notch, and we got those results first thing.
Yeah.
So when we heard that was the glitch, it was funny. But, yes, you're right. You said it was absolutely not Salisbury's fault. It was on the state level. Veterans Day, wow. The region really comes out to support the veterans. And I was at several schools this week where there were services. There were services in several of the towns, Salisbury and Kent, and always very, very, very touching, very warm, and just really, it's more than just lip service to veterans. They really do come out and show their appreciation in this area. An interesting vote in Sharon the other night. Comcast was overwhelmingly approved to put in an internet fiber system, and they're going to wire 28 miles of roads and for a total cost of $1.6 million. It's very interesting because Frontier came in at the last minute and wanted to give a proposal, and so some people said, you know, let's hold off and hear both sides, but you know, Comcast has been working with this task force for a long time, and you know, it was a solid proposal, and so and townspeople realized that and really gave it an overwhelming okay.
You know, this task force is going to go down because this proposal where Sharon and Comcast split the cost cost $1.6 million. But for Sharon to build its own high-speed internet service would have cost right now $12 million, plus it would have taken years to put together, plus you would have had to hire technicians, mechanics, and people to operate it. This was a terrific plan that they put together that forced Comcast to come to the table. And I firmly believe that the rest of the state that doesn't have Comcast, that doesn't have service, this plan will become known as the Sharon Plan.
I agree with you. This is, they are pioneers in this, and it was, they are the forerunners and leaders, and it was an amazing amazing thing that they've done. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
And, you know, Frontier wants to put something together for people that they serve here. Let them put it together and put it in separately.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with this. It just really, that group, the cable advisory group that put this together for Sharon, really is going to change the way Internet service is provided in this state.
You're absolutely right. And it was interesting because Frontier's proposal didn't include 800 of the most difficult houses to reach. Well, that's the whole crux of the matter, is to get to all the houses. I mean, any company can put in the easier ones, but it's getting to the hard-to-reach places that count.
Yep.
So, kudos, you're right, to that task force. It really was amazing. And it will take, according to Jill Drew, who co-chairs that with Megan Flanagan, when asked, she said, well, it could be done in about 6 months if they get all the permitting processes done. Sharon Hospital, we're rescheduled again for a hearing December 6th on closing of the labor and delivery unit. Again, it's a hearing before the Office of Health Strategy. People should be signing up to testify. If you go on the website of, I believe Save Sharon Hospital has it, you can sign up or listen that day. The testimony starts at 9, and then the comments, I believe, start at 3. Hopefully, it won't be canceled again because people are really anxious to give their opinions.
Absolutely.
Okay, and there was a meeting in Sharon about Hilltop Road that's been on the burner for a long time. People want speed bumps along that road because of the speeders. You know, you can use that to sort of avoid downtown if you're coming through town. It connects Route 4 and Route 41 and goes past the school. They're talking about speed humps of 3 inches high on either side of the hill. Now it comes back to the selectmen having to decide, and as Brent Colley, the first selectman, said, they're going to have to think long and hard on this one because it will set a precedent for other roads in the town. So stay tuned. That will there'll be discussions on that as well. And we did attend the Athletic Hall of Fame yesterday at the high school. Another very touching event. We had 10 inductees come back and talk about what this athletic department and their sports participation meant to them, not only during school but later in life, and we'll have a story on that later in the week. Really a wonderful, it's always a wonderful tribute.
Yep.
So, and you know, Housatonic is very nostalgic when it comes to its what students went through and what, where they have gone. Okay, looking ahead, Marshall, we have the Falls Village duo tonight, Board of Selectmen and Board of Finance.
We have a bunch of meetings in Sharon tonight, which range anywhere from the Sharon Green Committee, the Board of Education, Inland Wetlands, and Park and Recreation.
Oh, my goodness. You can go anywhere you want. Yeah. Also tonight is the community meal. You know, they do those meals up at Bitterman Center. Everybody
yes.
is invited. Different groups put it on tonight. The Cranford Club is hosting. It's free for everybody, not just, you know, those who may be struggling, but it's a great night for camaraderie and food and conversation, and that starts, I think, at about 4:30, and everybody is welcome. And the fun games at the high school on the Friday night, the turkey, whatever they call it, turkey something, where the kids all compete, the different classes.
The Turkey Olympics.
Turkey Olympics, you got it, yeah. And that's always worth a little giggles, a lot of fun there. And historian Douglas Brinkley is talking at Kent School on Saturday. He's the noted historian that you see on TV, a professor. And that, too, is open to the public.
All right. Rest that voice, Ruth.
Yes, well, I'll try. No screaming today.
Okay, I'll speak to you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Ruth Epstein from the Republican American with the Republican American Report right here on Robin Hood Radio.